Welcome back, y'all. It's another episode of Street Fight. It's a delight to have you here. If this is your first time, we're glad you made the leap, and I hope you're ready to get things started. We have a lot planned for the coming year. We are going to be on tour once a month. Not like touring where like you go and drive and you know you're all exhausted and stuff like that. We are going to one place a month, maybe some extra shows in between. But right now our schedule is looking like July 23rd in Milwaukee at the River West Public House. We are going to also be, I think, can we say DSA thing now? August 2nd?
Sure.
Arish has a show August 2nd, and he said that if we could drop in or something if we wanted to. So we're definitely going to do Arish's show the Wednesday before the DSA convention kicks off. That's August 2nd. Then August 25th is the Mammal Gallery in Atlanta, Georgia. That is also, we also have some other stuff going there. We're going to talk to a mayoral candidate that sounds pretty rad, Nicole.
Maybe.
Yes.
We haven't talked to him yet. I can't like.
Right. We're going to vet him. And then we're also have a prospect of talking to some representatives from a tent camp that is possibly going to be bulldozed. So that will be good as well. And then in the month of September, big month, we're going to Washington, D.C. for the Juggalo March. ICP has called upon the Juggalo and Juggalette Network to go and march on Washington to address their gang designation and the destruction it has caused across the entire ICP family tree. So we will be out there to, I mean, sure, protest, but also I feel like there's about to be a live-ass concert going on here. Uncle Luke might be there.
That's why they did say that 2 Live Crew was going to be there.
Luke Skywalker himself.
He changed my life. 2 Live Crew was one of those things that, like, I saw it on the news and I went out and got my hands on it immediately. Well, I found which one of my friends owned it. Mike Camp, thank you for having As Nasty As They Want to Be.
That shit goes hard every time. I mean, just turn it up and everybody starts rocking. Yeah, so we'll be out there.
Song called The Fuck Shop.
I mean, yeah, it's a part of human life. You know, we compartmentalize it, but, you know, he talks about those parties that we really, lean into the hedonism.
Yeah. I mean, I never been to a party like a
never
Luke
been to
Skywalker.
A fuck shop. You never been to a fuck shop party.
Yeah. I can tell you that I have definitely
You're
never
wholesome.
Been to a fuck shop.
A little too wholesome for that. But yeah, we'll be there. We'll be in Baltimore, Maryland the following night, that Sunday, the 17th. We're going to be at Auto Bar upstairs. That's going to be a free show. Donations if you want to pay for our gas and stuff, of course, will be welcome. And we'd also, I guess, announce it up front here. Sorry, it's not normally as long-winded. I say something more poignant, but I feel like now that we've got so much going on, I got to get it out there. Nick from Detroit on Twitter, at Nick from Detroit, Nick Hayes, really cool videographer, DSA member, is helping us out with some of these endeavors and putting it on film. So we're getting, we're leveling up. We're leveling up our stats in videography and cinematography and video production. And that's on the way. And that's all because Nick is helping us out. So give him a follow and check out his work on Vimeo. He is really amazing with the stuff that he does. And there'll be more on the way coming from him. And then October, we want to do New York City, but we don't have the place yet. But we'll get it. Just be ready to do it, like a Halloween type thing. And that's how you can see us live. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to get a few hundred of our friends there to have a ball, laugh, have a good time, and then smoke cigarettes and drink a lot of beer and weed afterwards and network. I'm editing the Louisville show right now. I'm going to get that to you as fast as I can. I'm almost done. But we had so many groups there. I was looking at the Kentucky Workers League, the IWW, the Louisville Socialists, the DSA. There was just so many people in there, and it was nice to have them all in one room. So these live events are turning into something way more than just giving Brian and I a whole bunch of attention.
But, I mean, I want them to stay mostly the attention. I need that.
Keep it on us.
Yeah, please.
But please be prepared to get in the street fight. This new Louisville video coming out, we really got out there. Brian tried to get everybody in the audience high, like a bad kid in a dare book.
I have to do that, man. I've been trying to do it for years. I'm trying to party with my friends, okay? Okay. And you, all you listeners out there, you're my friend. You can hit my packs.
I'm not going
to
break your style on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first news story I've seen today, like I gather stories for the show, but I haven't been paying much attention today because my wife is off this week, which means I get to hang out with a person during the day. And it's also a person that I like. So it's very nice. But the first thing that happened when I opened up my computer to find some stuff for the show, Brett, is that you know, the Hobby Lobby CEO, that dude that's like really anti-abortion. He just runs the Hobby Lobby, which don't shop there, please. Unless you have to, but
Robbie Hobby Lobby.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, that's him. Robbie Hobby Lobby III is the tyrant that runs that place and is too much up in a woman's business.
Why do they care? You sell hobby shit, man. Yeah. Why? They're like Uline. Hobby Lobby is a lot like Uline, but bigger. Obviously, they're on a larger scale.
I don't know. Uline provides a lot of shit, man. Everything that is flying in the air right now is in a Uline something.
So Hobby Lobby, smaller than Uline?
I don't know. I don't have the numbers. I feel like I shouldn't have questioned you now.
Yeah, I wouldn't question me. Hobby Lobby's like Target sized, right?
Yeah, Hobby Lobby is
there's a Hobby
like Walmart.
Lobby.
They're as big as Walmart.
No, I would say, okay, not as big as Walmart. Hobby Lobby's more of a like Sears. It's like a Sears size venture.
I feel like it's booty. Like it is booty. Joanne and Michaels are way ahead of that. Like I live for Joanne or Michael. One of those people is going to hook me up with the crafts I need.
Yeah.
Robbie Hobby Lobby is selling duds.
Too much fucking baggage. Now guess what?
It feels like a closeout place when you're in there.
Yeah. I'm going to read you something that you're not expecting from Robbie Hobby Lobby. I can 90% guarantee it. Okay. The arts and crafts retailer Hobby Lobby has agreed to pay a $3 million fine for, you don't have any guesses to you, what a $3 million fine might be for?
It's not, okay, so it doesn't seem like that much, but they also will make them pay very low fines for some pretty heinous shit. I'm going to say they took a play from the Walmart playbook and they weren't advancing women up the ladder.
Okay. Well, I hate to tell you this. That is probably very true.
Okay. We might as well say it is.
Yeah. Hobby Lobby is like that. No, they have agreed to pay a $3 million fine for illegally smuggling thousands of ancient clay artifacts into the United States from Iraq. So remember when they were crashing up the museums and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Hobby Lobby been buying some of that stuff.
Oh, no. That's
what Hobby Lobby's doing. Are they selling
it? This is worse
it?
Than like the Trump vote thing on air. I'm trying not to sound horrible. Like, I don't really want to make fun of this.
They're stealing cuneiform tablets. Okay, that's what
and
they're
selling
stealing.
Them right next to God bless this mess maybe, wooden cutouts with the angel.
He said thousands of them, so maybe he collects them.
Who?
The Hobby Lobby president collects them. He said under a civil complaint in a U.S. district court for the Eastern District of
New
York. Oh,
the guy Robbie did it, or you can go. Can you go buy Iraqi artifacts? Can you go buy like a paint by number?
I don't know. Iraqi artifact? I can guarantee you can't now. They took them off the shelf.
Oh,
get
yes.
rid of the goddamn artifacts. Hide them.
Grind them down and make them into squand.
They can't be selling them.
Well, I mean, if you got a good deal on them.
If he's collecting them, maybe. He said that they were samples. He said, no, I was ordering sample tiles. That's what he marked them as.
Samples won't come out of the fucking ground. You don't get samples by taking a brush to the goddamn ground.
Well, that was his lie. It says under a... It says
were they selling them or is he just buying...
I can't even tell.
Is he Indiana Jones?
He might be Indiana Jones,
he's like
except for the
outsourcing Indiana Jones.
Rich Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Indiana Jones works. This is the guy Indiana Jones works for in 2017, is Robbie Hobby Lobby.
That's the next Indiana Jones movie that Steven Spielberg is going
to
make.
He's getting paid $42,000 a year to be Indiana Jones. barely getting by. And he's collecting artifacts for like these Robbie Hobby Lobby types.
Steven Spielberg, if you want to make the next Indiana, let's reboot Indiana Jones, and he's just a guy that goes out and steals artifacts for Hobby Lobby.
Scrappy guy that's like it beats a day's work. Like that's what he says when he's like tumbling down the side of a mountain, you know, and a fucking boulder is chasing him. He's like, I'd rather do this than punch a clock.
Okay, so Hobby Lobby, whose owners are evangelical Christians, said it began.
This is religious warfare. This is religious warfare because Christians are weird about this shit.
They
man.
Love this stuff.
They cannot deal with another religion being around at all.
I think these
it gets
are,
them. It puts makes all of their back hair stand up.
It said they were collecting a variety of Bibles and other artifacts in 2009 with the goal of preserving them for future generations.
These motherfuckers are Captain Planet villains. The whole Hobby Lobby business is a front for ancient religious warfare.
They're still.
Well, are they looking for the Knights Templar to find the blood of Christ, maybe?
No. I think that's what Hobby Lobby is doing. All the old Bible stuff. They're like, dude.
They sell wrought iron chickens, 2 for $20, so that way they can dig up ancient Bible artifacts.
Yeah,
what
they
you're
want
saying.
To have like all of the stuff. Well, they want the Bibles. They want to own all the Bibles, and they want to own all of the Bible artifacts. So slowly, they're sending crews of evil Indiana Jones.
Bad ones, yeah.
To dig these things up.
Black hat
put them
ones.
In a bag, market samples, and send it to them so they can, like, what, like, archive it in their mansion or something like that? Like, is there one day, are they stealing them all so that one day there could Hobby Lobbies could each have a biblical museum on the inside of them? Yeah. I might go then.
I think this gives people more, I think more people will start deciding to go to Hobby Lobby. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, sure, I can get sometimes a better deal on washboard markers down at Joann's, but these people are literally fighting for my faith. You just don't understand it. You don't know what it is to have, you know, a belief in him and how important it is to steal the artifacts from Arabs and Muslims.
I can't believe the government went after him with Donald Trump as president. Like, Hobby Lobby
that's
for
true.
Hoarding Bible artifacts. Like,
yeah,
that's,
that doesn't sound like Trump's America. That sounds like some Obama-type shit, if you're asking me.
I'm really excited about the spin that's going to come tomorrow on like
the
comical
wild,
conservative Tribune. Mm-hmm. Look, these guys are trying to steal as much biblical stuff so they can open a biblical museum so that they can bring Christ back into society, okay? If the kids can go and see that the actual Bible stuff exists, then they'll definitely become Christians, okay?
That's how you get them. I mean, that's what I was wondering if they were funneling them to that creation museum. Like, they just were like, hush, hush, and after that shit show up, a new exhibit shows up.
Oh, no. The Hobby Lobby wing of the creation museum.
Right.
I've heard that the creation museum's in some trouble now.
Oh, no.
Like, that they're just not doing well monetarily. Like, they're not bringing in
enough
cash.
Do they do church at it?
No.
You got to get ties, man. If you run any religious business, you got to run off that 10%.
Yeah. It's right by our house. I don't know why we haven't been, because every other comedian has been to the Creation Museum. But the real reason I don't want to go to the Creation Museum is because it would convince Brett of creationism before we left.
That's true, man. I'd have enough coincidences on the way that I would just be like, man, I think I know why we're going today. I think I have a calling. That's leading me here. I feel like there's eyes that are watching me arriving, and I think they're happy to see me.
Okay, yeah, I see how they could put dinosaurs in the ark. It was huge.
Yeah.
The thing was huge.
I mean, it was miraculous in size. That's exactly what you need to keep these animals alive.
Oh, my God. So,
yeah. They got that. I'm one bad advertiser for Christianity. There's a half-ass built ark that's on the side of the freeway in Ohio. And I'm just like, when are y'all going to finish that ark? It just has a sign there that says ark coming soon. And I'm like, I want to see it. I do want to see it.
It's also steel. It's steel. They have steel back then.
Can the goddamn pastor talk to y'all while you're laying down some foundation and shit and hammering and nailing? Talk to the back of your heads while you get the goddamn thing done? I can't believe you're sitting in here on your asses when this arc ain't even done. It's been 7 years I've been driving back and forth.
I also drive a lot. Like when we drive out of town, I notice there are a lot of half churches where people are just like, oh,
didn't yeah, get that done. That dream fell apart. I didn't. Shit. I wasn't in it, man. I didn't think it was going to. I realized it wasn't going to pay as much as I thought.
Jerry Falwell had an amusement park that people have used to, at least back in the day. I always wanted to go. Like, he had this amusement park that you could go, like, urban explorers would go check out. You know, the people that are like, hey, man, that's closed. I'm going to go in there and see what's doing in there. Chase off some raccoons and look at the graffiti.
Yeah, I did actually, though. I have to rep Cool Christianity now, because when I was doing Planned Parenthood, I actually did it with a guy whose name is Pastor Al, and he's actually done a lot of activism and stuff, but he is a, his church is now like, he left his church, but the guy that took over is a gay dude that has a husband and everything, and they're like pro pot, and he's like a theologian. He like went to school to study the Bible and like in all that. So he was a good person to meet, realize they weren't like all just the ones that scream and hold up dead fetus pictures and shit.
Who's the only person that you could talk to about our wonderful flat earth that yes. you met in person?
Yeah, he would have been down with it. I don't think he would have minded at all. No. Actually, can I give a little bit? I have an excerpt I want to share about the flat earth.
Sure, go unless for you guys, it,
man. Are we well, done I, with the Christianity?
I do have, yeah, all I had left was that Ken Ham, he's like, we're not doing very well monetarily wise for this museum. We need more customers, so please build some restaurants and stuff around it. I'm like, motherfucker, you could just put a Domino's and a Cracker Barrel around it, because that's all the people. Just build an enormous Cracker Barrel the size of the Ark, and it'll always be filled.
Yeah, but he didn't have the Applebee's like CEO and his parishioner shit, man. But that's funny to go out there and be like, oh, sure, this God's Museum of Creativity sure would be doing much better if you could get a nice matinee special. If there was a buffet nearby, surely more families would show up to behold the beauty of our museum.
Yeah, yeah. It says, while tourism-related businesses are thriving in Grant County, especially in the city of Dry Ridge, which I don't even, you know, more tourist facilities are desperately needed to handle the Ark crowd. So people are showing up to see this dude's Ark. Like, he's building the Ark, which is, listen, I know you said you wanted him to finish the Ark. What a mistake it is to try to build the Ark, because as soon as we see it... You're like, so two of everything fit on that thing? I don't think so.
Like, yeah, I mean, you gotta have faith. You gotta have faith.
That is gonna articulate that it won't work. I'll look at it and be, because like, and it's such a ridiculous, what a ridiculous fucking undertaking. I'm gonna build the fake ark that Noah traveled with all of the animals on.
Hey, now, you're talking about like the majority of the population on this earth. I mean, in this country, sorry.
In this country. Not on this and earth. Nobody believes in the Ark. Listen.
A lot of people do. No. That's the issue that we have really with society, is that there's a lot of people that believe in the Ark. And they have a different idea on what the world is.
Yeah.
We're kind of contending with what their opinions on their Bible shit is.
And you can go in the Ark. I mean, it's just going to be...
I mean, if it, like, it's the same, like, I mean, they think this is real shit, man. Why would you question it? You believe that a guy came back to life because he's the son of God. Why the fuck would you question anything else?
Yeah. We got to go to this place. We got to see this damn ark, and we got to go into the creation. I know everybody's done it, but I got to see it for my own eyes.
No, I would love to.
Yeah, it's too close not to be screwing around in there doing something, you know?
Yeah, I feel like they're not going to be happy to see us.
They wouldn't mind.
I don't think they're going to be okay seeing us in there. Christians usually aren't that Christ-like when it comes to dealing with people that don't think and act just like they do.
Oh, I'll act like I'm into it, I guess. You know, you just go in there.
Golly
gee.
Like, I'll do a golly gee and bless everybody.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to talk to you, right? I want to go to the place in Florida that's like a whole Christian city where you can, like, it's like a theme park that these poor kids got to go to, where it's like you can watch the Jesus get crucified over here and with stuntmen, and like there's like a whole bunch of, it's like a theme park for Jesus stuff, like the boat that goes back and forth is Noah's Ark.
Yeah I mean
the boat, the ride, the carnival. Yeah. I just said the boat that goes back and forth like it's a ferry. I'm talking about the big
The Viking ship
is actually Noah's Ark.
That's rad.
I mean, yeah, you'd probably have just as much fun there if they weren't talking about Jesus. Like, you just ignore the Jesus stuff and ride the rides.
I mean, I like the eternal life stuff. I really like the eternal life. I like that he died for me. That makes me feel pretty special. Right?
That's true. He did die just for you.
And also, now I don't have to be responsible for much because, I mean, I'm just a player in his game.
Oh man, I saw the
well, let me hear. Let me get you my flat earth thing. So thank you. This is Adam McF. Oh, I don't want Adam.
It's Adam.
Adam Mack sent this to the email. It's an excerpt from a book called Masters of Atlantis by Charles Portis. And I'm going to read this terribly. I'm going to try to make sure it makes sense. It's dialogue and there's different people here. I'm not reading the whole thing. So he says, I don't know what position you're taking about, sir. The Gnomon Society has never questioned the rotundity of the earth. Mr. Jimerson is himself a skilled topographer. And then they say, excuse me, Mr. Popper, but I have it right here in Mr. Jimerson's own words on page 29 of 101 Gnomon Facts. Excuse me, sir. No, you don't. Read that passage carefully. I can't do this. Read that passage carefully and you'll see what we actually see is the earth looks flat. We just say that. It's so flat down and around Brownsville as to be striking to the eye. But isn't that just a weasel way of saying that you really do believe it to be flat? Not at all. What we're saying is that the curvature of the earth is so gentle relative to our human scale of things that we need not bother our heads about it or take into account when going for a stroll, say, or laying out our gardens.
Nice.
Sorry, that was horrible reading.
The earth is flat.
I'm way too stoned and in a horrible position. I need to blow up the type on this computer. I can't read this.
Blow that shit up. You're getting old, man. You got to fucking squint. You got to squint your eyes in there so you can really see it. You're just another year older, you know?
Yeah, I got to...
Oh, God, I got this.
But it's good. That sounds good. I'm going to read that one. It's not as confusing to me.
Yeah, you read that book. Read it in your mind. Get a real good idea for it and come back with it next week.
Sure. Do a better job.
Oh, man. Kirschboat sent me this story from Jalopnik.
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 Yeah. It's from Foxtrot Alpha. I guess that's their military branch of Jalopnik. Hopefully Francis is right. Francis Horton from What a Hell of a Way to Die is writing in there. Or I'm going to be really irritated. You know? Foxtrot sure. Alpha. It's a military thing. It's on Deadspin. It's a good thing. U.S. lawmakers formally propose a Space Corps Air Force branch.
I mean...
So now we want to go to space war, Brett.
Yeah, it's happening.
I think that... I mean,
people want to talk about it. We spend all of our time idealizing it on TV and books and stuff and video games. I mean, might as well someone should just be like, I mean, but for real though, are we ready to do Space Marines if we have to?
I guess take the war to space I'd be kind of okay with. You know, if they stopped doing war here and started doing it in space.
Yes, send all the troops to other galaxies to try to hunt down other bug people to kill. Instead of like, killing other people in other countries.
That's a good idea. Just send the troops into space.
Yeah.
Other part of that idea. I don't have another idea.
Yeah, just put them up there for 4 years and call it a day and then come back and do college and get money or whatever. Yeah, that's a great idea.
There is a bipartisan acknowledgement that the strategic advantages we derive from our national security space systems are eroding. Why do they want to go into war? Like this is why the state fucking sucks.
They found something, dog.
What? Yeah,
they found something.
It's possible.
Transformers has been trying to tell us.
I know. It probably is an Optimus Prime. Transformers is like what's really up there. I can see that, man. All
they
kinds
need
of crazy metals up there, probably.
Yeah. I don't know. There's no necessary. It sucks because you don't want to be caught with your pants down. I watched Independence Day yesterday on July 4th, and I saw those aliens, and it was like. It was great that they had like spaceships and people that were smart enough to jump in and take over alien ships and all of this stuff, but they really were unprepared for that whole thing.
Are like, you nervous about like a space alien coming here and like being Nanu Nanu, we must destroy the Earth? Is that like a worry of you? Nanu Nanu.
Yes, just like that.
That's what they'll do. They'll come down here and be like, glip, glorp, bleep, glorp, bleep. And then just kill
vaporize.
Us all.
Yeah, then they vaporize us. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. That's the issue. If you had some sort of anti-vaporization technology already in the works, though, when they got here, you'd be like at least halfway there to the solution to aliens.
I don't think they want to kill us. That's one of the things about Star Trek why I hate everything about Star Trek. I hate the aesthetic. I hate the acting. I hate the TV show. But I like that they went into fucking space and not everything was trying to kill them.
Well, but I have to say that if other things out there are biologically created by happenstance and organisms coming to life and stuff, same way that we did, and we're talking about sending space marines out there, what the fuck do you think they're better than us?
I don't want to send
think they're
a
better
space
than us?
Marine. Like, I don't
that's
want
what
the last gov- person...
That's what the government's trying to do, though. That's what we're that's saying. What I mean. They're already getting ready to go to war.
The last person I want to send to another planet to speak for me is a marine. I can't think of anybody I'd want to send less.
But it's like this.
Let's send the police up there too. Let's send the chief of police, a few troops, Five Finger Death Punch, and Kid Rock, and see what we can get done up there.
Hash it out. Let's show these bugs who's boss.
Star Wars is right. Everything in Star Wars
Star Wars.
But they're at war.
Those aliens were like, I mean, and they were fucking each other too. Like,
yeah.
They were pretty much integrated and shit. And it was just government. Star Wars is a government problem.
Exactly. Just like any other thing.
Everybody
just
was
like all the other
problems. You had desert people hanging out with desert people. You had the wind, on their own planets. You had frost people with the frost people. And it was just government meddling that fucked up that whole situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the time, that's what it is, man. That's like, I'm reading the book DMZ right now. That's exactly it, man. It's like two sides fighting, and the people that are fucked are the people that just happen to live there.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, troops and soldiers die on both sides, like people that are in the war, but most of the people that endure the suffering, you know, are the people that fucking live there.
Yeah.
Whose house is being turned into rubble.
Yeah, our casualties are a lot lower. Than what's dished out. I mean, that's the intention too. It's what's so brutal about it. But I gotta say, because July 4th was yesterday, that I fucking hate that holiday. I'm done with it, man.
You don't like it?
I feel like a hypocrite the whole time. I'm seething on the inside, and I'm embarrassed that I'm out and like, because I feel
at
like I'm showing
works.
Support. Yeah, because I believe that being at a protest counts, and I believe that being there counts too. But everybody in my life would fucking despise me if I was like boycotted it.
Yeah, I would probably.
I know.
Like, why are you ruining everything?
But the issue, because I watched some bad fireworks. This is once again, what we were saying at ComFest. All people want to do is go to the park and take their drinking party to the park. Like, we don't, the fireworks are just an excuse to do that again.
Yep. Yeah. I think, but I really think that, like, if we loosened up a little bit in these public parks, they could kick ass.
Oh,
man.
They're loosening up, man. I was at the, that Doodah parade in Columbus, and everybody just sat down and cracked a beer.
White people, dude. If white people are gathering, they can drink outside as much as they want, anytime they want. But I can promise you, there's these dudes, right, in the short north, like the fancy part of town, the fancy urban part of town. I saw one day, there's these guys in these orange, like, collared shirts, like I used to have to wear a collared shirt, like one of those cheap ones that are scratchy. You know what I'm talking about?
Polyester is what you mean.
Yeah, and it's like with the collars and everything, and they're just like the worst shirts. And one day I'm walking down the street, and I see a guy who probably doesn't have a home, and he's sitting on the ground. He's awake.
You're so PC.
He's awake, so he's probably not like too drunk, and he's drinking out of a tall boy with a paper around it, which is legal, pretty much.
They can't see it,
but
I mean, they know what's going on. But I doubt that's a rule. That seems like a TV rule.
Yeah. So this
dingus, that's all on The Simpsons.
So this guy and his stupid polo walks up to him.
A polo? What's he, wait? Why was he wearing a polo down there?
It's just orange. It says like Short North something. I'll have to find
safety
out
patrol
here.
Or
safety
something.
Safety patrol.
Civilians on patrol from the movie Cops.
No, not funny. Like not in the. Once I tell you the story, you'll be like, oh no, these aren't civilians on patrol at all.
Police Academy. Man, Police Academy. Is that movie good?
Yeah.
Still good?
I mean,
my kid would probably love it. But everything's a cop show. God damn it. See how brainwashed I am? Every piece of entertainment is some sort of fucking cop or troop shit.
Oh, they call them the ambassadors. They're kind of like a really generic guardian angels.
The ambassadors. Okay.
Yeah, they're just dudes that walk around.
Who are they ambassadoring for?
The Short North.
Okay, that's like its own fucking island now? Is that like its own fucking, what is it, a province?
Maybe the people
it's
that
a township?
Are, it's just a neighborhood,
a private
right?
force, okay, it's of a- harassers. What are they doing?
If you're a resident of the district or visit regularly, you've probably seen our ambassador team riding in the orange SID mobile, checking out the street scene. They do a lot more for our neighborhood than you're probably aware of. Check out what a day in the life is like for our ambassador team.
So
what
did you see?
Let me tell you what I saw, because I'm not going to read this day in the life because it's more shit. I saw a guy say, throw your beer away. And then why the homeless guy did it? I guess like because it was just like he's going to fucking call the cops and it's just going to turn into a whole thing.
It's a hassle.
So let's do what a normal person would do. And he just put the beer on top of the trash.
Smart
facing
move.
Up. So that
real
when,
gently.
Yeah. So that when fucking.
Oh boy walks away.
Yeah. Orange shirt walks away. He can grab it and drink it again.
Or
orange.
Grab it and go. I mean, that's the other thing, too.
Leave.
Yeah, it's like, this guy's going to be at my ass. I'm just going to take this beer and go somewhere else.
Exactly. So orange shirt walks over and grabs the beer off the top of the trash and pours it up.
Oh, I would have screamed. I would have booed somebody. I would have booed him.
I should have. I really feel bad that I didn't do anything when I saw that. Like, I just kept walking, and I just saw it, and I was like, I just wanted to be like, I know I got a couple blocks away and just wanted to be like, man, fuck that guy. Like, you know what, man? You don't have to put your beer away. Let's act like fucking adults. What were you doing 60 wrong?
60-year-old man drinking a beer.
Yes, right? What were you fucking doing wrong? And then the only other time I've seen one, they were picking stickers off of a fucking sign down there.
Stupid.
Well, you got to get rid of all this graffiti, too, so people won't be confronted with it.
No one's going to pay $9 a pint if there's stickers on the sides.
They call it maintaining security.
Okay. And like, what kind of security?
Yeah, and they have
not security for your beer.
Yeah. They're not watching
who's
out
gonna,
for my beer.
Yeah, who's going to make sure this beer doesn't get dumped out? I mean, who the fuck dumps out a beer? That is antisocial behavior. That is completely anti-human.
Yeah. It sucks. It just sucks. It's the same thing you say about the guys who do the people who do have like a lot of glee doing the parking job.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The parking, the people that are like, no, I like my job. I get a lot of fresh air and I get to move around the town. It's like, fuck you, dude. You're writing tickets, man.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like that job should be empty. I feel like they should not be able to hire anybody to do it.
I don't want to fucking do it.
They're good at it here, man. It stepped up. I remember when I used to come downtown, it was the parking meters were a fucking joke when I came down here when I was a teen and shit, in 20s. But in the last 10 years, I guess, it's been like just immediately. I've gotten tickets literally to use it after using an ATM.
Yeah.
I mean, I look up and down the street. I don't see no orange vest nowhere. And yeah. then here they come right around the corner.
They don't have to wear the orange vest.
Oh,
I don't
no.
see them in orange vests. They can just wear like their collared shirt, their fucking NARC shirt. I'm going to start calling that the polyester collared shirt the NARC shirt.
Yeah,
from here on out.
We need to get dirt bikes, and then we can throw pies at those people and ride away on a dirt bike with no license plate on it.
I mean, some of them are like older dudes or whatever that are veterans, but it's still like, you know what, man? Fuck you. I mean, veteran doesn't get any
break
extra
up a fight.
Juice.
Just break up fights and jump in front of bullets and do all your hero shit, but like, stay the fuck out of like. Yeah, people's good times.
Leave my beer alone. Leave yeah. that guy's fucking beer alone.
Get the fuck out of the beer. Yeah. We'll take care of that.
He poured it out, dude.
I know. That's disrespectful, man. I would spit on somebody that did that.
Yes. I was mad. This is a young guy, too.
Oh, he was just full of adrenaline. He was feeling like swollen.
I don't know, man. I see him all the time rousting. Like people falling asleep on the side of the road. I see him all the time like, hey. With the gloves on, they put gloves on so they don't have to touch them. And they stand there and just roust them. And I'm like, fuck you, man. You know?
Oh, man.
That's depressing.
They'll give those dipshits work. They'll put food in those people's mouth, but they won't feed the fucking homeless guy.
Exactly. You make all the fucking money in the world doing that, but can't give that homeless guy a place to fucking have a beer.
Okay, do you have any? I have something else.
Yeah,
it's not going to be as awkward as that reading thing.
Go for it. No, hey, go for it.
Let me redo this here. Okay, this is from Charles. Hey guys, big fan. You've retweeted some of my shit for the IWW, which I'm grateful. Well, your IWW stuff probably is not shit.
Brett doesn't like it when you call things shit.
Not everything is a shit.
I call everything shit, though. You're fine in my book.
It just gets over. Like, it just gets out of control.
It's my shit, man. I got all my shit.
And you start saying, like, we need to push this shit. And then you start saying, smack this shit. I mean, yeah, just when everything is shit, you get into some really gross situations verbally.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for the opportunity to reach out. Just wanted to ask him advice because of a lot of Americans don't get where I'm coming from. I grew up in New Zealand. I'm a commercial diver, and I've been working for a small company in South Florida. Initially, they seemed like a good bunch, tight and lots of family involved. I've worked my fucking ass off for them, 16-hour days, weekends, holidays, etc., etc. There's never any warning. They push the shit out of us. See, that's exactly what I said. They push the shit out of us.
I like it. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I know you're grunting so hard at work that you've soiled yourself. Diving past 80 feet 3 times a day. Oh, my God, that fucks you up. Diving around differential pressure, safety measures only when it's convenient, and cutting us off at 40 hours so we don't get overtime, even though we worked from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. God damn,
how do they
man.
Get
that sounds like yeah you're doing like illegal diving like extreme diving.
That's like the truckers, man. They were making them work a whole bunch of hours.
Yeah, that's fucked up. They've even skimmed guys per diem for out of town jobs, which is all legal in right to work states.
That's Jesus. True.
It's a dangerous gig. That's life though, and I'm good with it. An initial bad sign was having to fight with them over my dive team not diving during a lightning storm. The next day, all the divers got a patronizing text about bringing rain gear and being prepared for weather. We weren't worried about the fucking rain. We spend 90% of our time in the water. We were worried about getting struck by lightning. But I dismissed it as a general office management bullshit. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty indicative of what they think of your life. So,
yeah,
I mean, I probably would say that's a red flag. That's when I would probably say to my wife, you know, they crossed the line and I'm going to keep going in there. I'm going to try to make the money. I'm going to try to keep doing it. But if they make me dive in a fucking lightning storm again, I'm coming right home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, though, the thing is, there's not much recourse for something like that. So it really is, you have to quit or you're fucked. I mean, like, I guess I don't know what you really do other than, man, it's tough because the safety stuff is so true. That's something people don't even talk about, is like, because they think because OSHA exists, a lot of these blue collar jobs, working class jobs are safe.
Safe enough.
Enough, because the company puts on a show about being worried about safety a lot, but they don't oftentimes don't provide you with equipment that would make you safe. Don't worry. Don't think it's unsafe to have you work when you're tired or work extra overtime when you're tired. Like, they just don't, they don't really care about safety. They care about it in as much as you can't. The government has an agency that is responsible for fining them if they're not following these really weird rules.
Yeah, I actually used it, safety, as a dickhead move at a job where I wasn't trained on an electric pallet jack, but I drove them all around all the time, and I drove all the other power equipment up and down the place. I just never took the test for that. And so if I was working real late and it was like overtime and shit, and they mandatory overtime, I would just be like, I would just go up there and say, I can't drive the pallet jack. I'm not certified on it. I can't drive it right now. I'm not certified. You need to go out there and get those boxes. You know, you got to get up out of here, stop sending emails, and go drive that fucking thing across the thing and unload it. I can't do it.
Sometimes I think my cable guy years would have been better spent in a warehouse, because, like, I did a lot of unsafe stuff at work in the interest, like, being like, no, I want to do this unsafely.
Like, no, I liked it. No, I used to do cherry picking, and I loved, like, doing real dangerous, trying to reach out real far. I'm like, I think that harness will catch me.
That's me. Dude, I'm just really, like, I could probably just not do this job, but instead I'll hang the ladder up on a tree branch and climb up it like a pool ladder.
I'll get a little bit of adrenaline rush out of this.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna waste the time. I can just cut a corner here.
I used to sometimes, so the way the aerial utilities go, they run across the backyard, right? I used to sometimes hook my ladder on the thing, just because it was more fun and I could swing back and forth, like in the middle of the strand instead of on the pole.
Right, right.
And I would just swing back and forth while I was up there. It was stupid as shit, man, and it was really unsafe, but it was like, this job's boring as shit, man.
It's definitely not comparable to being forced to dive deep into the water during a lightning storm.
Yeah.
Okay, so the issue I'm facing now, though, is my best friend is getting married at the end of June. I told
you're not getting those days off. That ain't happening.
Yeah, you know where this is going. I told management at the beginning of the month that I needed to take 3 days off for it. Okay, 3 is not even that bad, man. That's like funeral amount.
You should get 5.
They instantly came at me with an aggressive, patronizing attitude. Definitely. They don't want you to ever think that you should not flinch when you ask for days off. That's most management styles. They want you to, like, have your tail between your legs if you ever ask for time off.
They don't want you to ever, they, like, it's so inconvenient for them when you want a time off at one time. Yes, they offer it to you, but only because somebody makes them do that. Like, if the marketplace didn't dictate that vacation time should exist, then they wouldn't be giving you vacation time.
I just lost it. So they started asking if they needed the secretary to sit down and explain the company policy personally about requesting time off. Because too many people had already wanted the July 4th holiday off. So
why did they fucking need to be there on July 4th? That's a diving team?
That's what he says. Weird, right? That workers would plan on not working on a national holiday. Then, like, July 4th, I think what he's saying is July 4th wasn't a day off. So it's not like taking, you know, 3 days off.
They want to get rid of you. It sounds like to me, like, that's the way I've been, like, all the times that I've quit a job for a day off. Like, so the camera store, I worked at this camera store, and when we had the show in Philly, I needed a week off. And they were like, oh, we can't give it to you. So either, so we can't give it to you. So it was like, well, I'm quitting and doing it like that. So I guess this is my notice. And like, I don't think that like it was, they could live without me for a week and a half or whatever like that. But they were just looking for a reason to get rid of me. You know, they just, they didn't want to have me there anymore. I was a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. They could have just, if they could have just dealt with it for 1 week. That's those, a lot of those jobs, they just aren't willing to deal with it. And it's like, well, I'm,
cause they don't,
I'm
have
not going to live
here.
I'm not going to live with you fucking people all the time.
Because they don't have to deal with it. That's the thing. Like, listen to this story.
Well, I got more. Okay. Hold on. Sorry. So he got a huge text from the operations manager saying if you couldn't make it, he should have negotiated for it in his hiring contract 4 months ago.
Nice. Nice. Negotiate in my hiring contract. Fuck you.
Yes, I have a bit of an ostentatious request. 3 days around July 4th. If I could have those. Oh, my God. So, wait, what did he say?
Oh, my God. I'm so pissed about saying negotiated in your hiring.
They also rubbed it in and said he's expected to be available to work every weekend and holiday that they choose.
That they choose.
Yeah, I mean, that's like at their whim.
Well, you signed a fucking contract, motherfucker. Hey, that's why we make the contracts. Did you read the contract? Huh? Did you read it? Because if you'd have read it, you'd have fucking known.
He said, so I'm trying to he said, this this authoritarian attitude blows me mind, and it's what they immediately went to. I'm trying to figure out how to handle it. I'm going to my friend's wedding, whether they like it or not. Right on. Power to the people. Should I try to negotiate on Monday? I'm pretty sure they've drawn a line in the sand. If they decide they won't give their blessing, I'm trying to decide whether to give my 2 weeks notice or just pretend to agree and tell them to fuck off the day before my flight. I like that one, but if you need references in the diving thing, you got to go the proper route. I prefer petty. I like and have done it several times where I will take other people's shifts and I will promise to do all this work right before I quit. Like, I will go to everybody's office and be like, you know that project that we dropped the ball on? I think it's time we got it going again. And then just quit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quit.
Yeah, I mean, so, I would cuss and probably almost get into a physical altercation with somebody.
Yeah. I can't stand being treated like a servant. Understood. Last thing I said to them was that they misunderstood. I wasn't asking for permission. I was just letting them know in advance. That's boss move. You said that shit sitting on top of a bearskin rug, right?
Yeah.
This country is nuts. Capitalism has rotted these people's brains, mate. It never, ever occurred to me that Americans would work on Independence Day. Isn't that shit sacrosanct? I know. I also bought into heavily to the American propaganda to think that they valued things like days off.
Nothing is sacrosanct. There's no day that people aren't working
and
in
shopping,
this country.
And buying, yeah, shopping, spending money, and working, yeah.
I'm fucking serious, man. Like, Walmart is open on Christmas is the big American holiday. The most people are off at the same time.
Our
on
Savior
Christmas.
Was born on that day.
Yeah.
Everything stops. Time
first
begins.
President,
BC.
Jesus Christ.
BC started with his ass. He's the beginning of time. Modern era.
Yeah, yeah. President Jesus, the first president of the United States, was born on Christmas, and that's the big day where most of the people are off. And listen, buddy, Kroger was open yesterday. Like, all the stores that sell flags were open yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, you could go get a toasted sub from Quiznos yesterday.
Yeah. Nobody was closing. But Chipotle closed, I saw, which is like, hey, you know, they treat us better than our own. Chipotle, the company owned by fucking probably the whitest people on the air, on the planet.
Yep. So, yeah, he's just having a hard time wrapping around. Yeah, I always have, I don't know very many non-American people, but I've always had this idea that you all are brought up with some sort of understanding of maybe people or human connection, or like you have a different understanding of like the soul or whatever it is, that we just really feel like we're in a death game against each other. Like, we're just raised to think that
solidarity. Are you saying there's solidarity?
There's solidarity in other places. There's histories of some. There's rich histories of, you know, some of that stuff. And
well, there's that here too. It's just where you live in it.
It's gone.
Like
it got stamped out. It got stamped out. And actually, that's something I wanted to talk about a little bit. Did you have something? Am I interrupting you?
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Oh, I wanted to say this, that when I was at ComFest and when I was talking to a few people, I'm really pissed because at ComFest, I was wearing my DSA shirt and a few people, like regular ass looking people, like librarian looking lady, was like, I really like your shirt. And it's just a simple like logo. It's the skyline and it says like socialism on it. And so many people had a positive attitude to that, you know, like nobody came up and was like, you know, socialism, rotten America. No, Alex Jones showed up and had a meme that gave me a tally of how many people Stalin killed, you know?
Yeah.
And it bugs the fuck out of me because I do feel at this point, everybody is like incensed and fired up about the right wing and, you know, these hate groups, which, you know, are there, but they get so much investigation and so much time and energy. There's people are more willing to go and look up the new Keck flag or Pepe meme shit than really spend any time like paying attention to how much like leftism and socialism and this Medicare for All is not making like the mainstream conversation still, even though I've seen shitloads of people talking about it and blaring it from every fucking street corner, you know?
Yeah, they don't really cover. I mean, isn't that kind of what happened with Donald Trump, is that CNN just kept covering him and covering him, and then he became a legitimate candidate for president, and that's what we focus on.
Yeah, now we're like, we have to respect fucking Proud Boys and shit, and take them serious as some sort of like political actor, or I don't know, like some sort of ideology to contend with. And
they're in the White House, but yeah. I think that like we would do a lot better to talk about what makes us different. You know,
well, I don't know. I guess it's just fucked up. It's just not making like the date. It's just not on any of the TV shows. It's not on fucking America's Got Talent or Jimmy Fallon. It's not. I mean,
Jimmy Fallon. Hey, I'm with the DSA. I wish Jimmy Fallon would like feel bad for those Capital One commercials and start shilling for socialism.
Yeah. Hey guys, there's a really new fun gang in town. What's that, Jimmy? It's the DSA, and it's like him and the whole band, but they're on their knees and they look like they're kids, you know, like they have lollipops and bonnets and shit on,
like him and the Black Eyed Peas playing, yes. Singing the International.
Yes. That would what we would lip-sync do at the live battle. Show. And Jimmy Fallon has followed me for years on Twitter and steals from us constantly.
I bet he does. I'm sure of it.
But yeah, I would love Fallon. To take the reins on that one. And we'd take it in a different direction.
Just a slightly different direction.
No, but I would do the lip syncing stuff for like Fuck the Police.
Oh,
like,
you would do Fuck the Police?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd do Brown Eyed Girl every time.
You know? That's the only one you're comfortable with. I would do Desperado every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Desperado. I'd sing it like that though, instead. I would sing Pantera. Obviously, if I had the chance. So, you know, I read this story earlier today, and I wish I remembered who sent it to me. I hate when I forget. Oh, no, it was the Silicon Valley DSA. Actually, speaking of the DSA.
Oh, shout out.
Yeah. If you're out there in Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley.
Silicon.
If you're silicon. Out there. You know,
silicate.
Where all that crazy, where all that disruption's happening.
3D printing.
Yeah. We just 3D printing. The two dumbest words you can
smoothies.
Think of. Disruption. 3D printing. That's what they do there.
Lyft bus services.
Yeah. They sent me this thing from their city page, from the city pages from the Twin Cities. Back in 2011, Micklin Enterprises, which operates 10 Twin Cities Jimmy John's franchises, made international headlines when it fired 6 workers who protested the company's sick leave policy. So these are IWW people, obviously.
Yep.
Usually. And I mean, I can't be 100% sure.
That shit sounds American as apple pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can protest with your ass on the corner. That is, we live by that meme. Like, literally, that is the driving, like, ideology of our right to work laws in this country.
Yeah, or freedom of speech. You know, yeah. I was thinking a lot about freedom of speech weekend because Brett and I were joking around about, but like, we're joking around about running for mayor, and my wife is like absolutely convinced if we run for mayor, she's going to lose her job, which is fucking. That's not freedom of speech at all. That's like a very real thing.
No, we know people that get drunk on patios and call themselves socialists, but are terrified to go to DSA meetings because they are afraid they'll lose their job.
And it's
or
your
go
job.
To a go to a protest. There was a guy that's like, there was this guy I was talking to that was just like racked with like anxiety about not being able to be politically active because his career was because of his career.
That's not free speech at all. That's like the opposite. Like, if that's true, then your boss should be tyranny, right? Like, they should be like, but they would never they would never show a don't tread on me flag to their boss. But so this story though is
you don't think they would?
No, they don't think their boss is treading on them. It's like, I'll do it. I work for him. Right. I work hard as I can. He's impressed with me. Sometimes he'll give me a day off without pay. You know, if I just need it and I've used all my days, I'm allowed to take a few days off without pay.
Yeah. The plus, don't tread on me. But that's good workers. You can exploit the shit out of them. They don't complain at all.
Yeah. But so they
I'm agreeing to this.
They basically
treading.
I'm trying to figure out what the under the law, the employees, they filed a law against their sick leave, which I think is just that they don't have any sick leave.
Yeah, that's like,
their policy.
That's the basic starting.
And
well,
yeah,
we
they don't
like,
get
what
paid
about
sick
leave?
Days.
We Shoot. Would like some.
Yeah, they don't get paid sick days, or they
fucked up.
If they
fucked
do
up.
Call in sick, then they get
docked.
It fired, basically. So they're like, we want sick days, and then they fired all six of them, you know?
Yeah, fucked up.
And they did put out a really great meme, though, I got to admit. They said, can't tell the difference. They put pictures of two subs, and it said, your sandwich was made by a healthy Jimmy John's worker. And the other one said, your sandwich was made by a sick Jimmy John's worker.
Exactly.
How are you supposed to tell the difference? Which is true, too. I hear all these people walking around talking about how, oh, I don't want anything to touch any of my stuff, you know, no contamination. I'm very afraid of germs.
I have a little silicone holster that I keep on my backpack here for my alcohol that I continuously wipe into my hand.
Yeah, every single person now is that person, except for, man, if a motherfucker is working sick, that you're just like.
Can I pause it for a second? Yeah. You brought it up before, but people aren't as germaphobe as they are, but there are cultural fads and trends in mental issues or something that all of a sudden we like a movie comes out and we find out about like when As Good As It Gets came out with Jack Nicholson, everybody was like, yeah, I'm kind of that way too. I like to always wash my hands. That's why I bought all these soaps now and I have wipes and I have, that's when I feel like that those little bottles of the shit came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, sanitizer. Like, the same with the fidget spinners, too, where, like, everybody's like, oh, I'm a genius just like Albert Einstein was. I'm so goddamn brilliant. That's why it says it on my keychain and my lanyard, and I share the memes. I need a fidget spinner just to calm down this big, beautiful, smart brain that's just.
The fidget spinner is just a beautiful thing, though, right? A therapeutic toy.
They're fun.
Toy.
It's slap bracelet, man.
A therapeutic toy is the smartest thing. Because parents were like, yeah, man, I'll get it. I'll get little Johnny Six. Yeah. Of them, man.
You really gonna do your homework if you have a fidget spinner? Yeah, Mom, I promise. Yeah, I need the Bluetooth one that lights up.
It plays music.
yeah, Mike, call me. I'm gonna play my ThinkSpace app into the Bluetooth fidget spinner.
Yeah.
My mindfulness app that you want me to listen to, that the therapist said to listen to.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that was a good show.
I have one more. Oh, and this isn't long. I'm going to this guy. I'm going to say, William, thank you for sending this in. I have the emails. I realize you have DMs, which are concise. I have emails which are very robust, and I appreciate all of them that you send to me. And even though I forget to reply because I just hit snooze on them until I know we can bring them up, but once they make it on the air, please realize that I appreciate you sending it to me, even if I didn't say so. So this guy just said, basically, he laid out that the issue that with Walmart that we talked about maybe a month ago, where Walmart was going to allow their employees to deliver items to people that ordered them from online to make extra money. Remember that?
Yes. Yes.
He said that they are putting their... they are putting their employees at an incredible amount of risk with no cost to Walmart, because it's like Uber and Lyft, where, you know, insurance is a big deal. If you're out driving around at the most like congested time of the night on a Friday night constantly, the chances of you getting in an accident is way higher, you know. But there's like insurance and there's things that back that up. These people are driving to who knows where, putting more wear and tear on their car and getting nothing out of it, and potentially, you know, backing into somebody while delivering a fucking fidget spinner to somebody's house that got it Walmart overnighted, or Walmart 1 hour, or whatever the fuck they call it. Walmart 59 minute.
I'm depressed now. Just that's true, though. They're on the clock. You can't you use fucking, your car for that shit.
You go to pull into somebody's driveway and you're all fucking frazzled and you got KFC that's just getting cold in the front seat, and you forget to put your shit in park, and you accidentally, your car rolls down the driveway and it backs into somebody across the street, and you're on the hook for it. Your fucking insurance goes up.
Fucking Walmart, man. Fucking Walmart.
Yeah, just because you're doing a delivery. Yeah, so yeah, that's another horrible way that the world has turned. And please be loud and proud and let everybody you know that you do have solidarity. We do too. Thank you. We actually have had, I've got to send it out. My supplies aren't here yet, but all of our international folks, if you want to receive the zine, you can sign up for it on Patreon. Just add like an extra $2.50 to your pledge, and that'll take care of it. We sent zines out to France, Sweden, Taiwan, Japan. Goddamn, where else? New Zealand, Australia, United Kingdom, so many amazing places. It's really cool to know that these pamphlets that we sell are really taking the nation, the globe by storm, the flat earth by storm.
Pamphlets used to be a big deal back in the day. Like, they didn't have TV like we do, so they would just read pamphlets all
sure,
the time.
Sure, sure. This is a pamphlet business.
Pamphlets.
We run a pamphlet business. For those of you that are wondering, what the hell are these fellas doing? Why do they do this? Why do they go to the trouble to record this conversation? It's to let you know, if you want more content from us, that we've got pamphlets for sale.
Come buy a goddamn pamphlet, okay?
This month we have the new metal pamphlet. We also we're working on the patriotism pamphlet for July.
Got Kush Bomb.
We didn't even talk about the 4th of July.
Yeah, we got another show
the
this week.
Flesh eaters. But
these motherfuckers, they'll get stuff.
Okay.
It's okay. It might be late. The 4th of July talk might be the next show, but you'll live. You're going to fucking live.
So we have these monthly zines. We're thinking about calling them zines too as well, just because that will set us apart.
I'm calling them pamphlets now. I've decided yeah. They're pamphlets.
The pamphlet club. Yeah, join our pamphlet club. We've done small business tyrants. We've done drugs. We've done wrestling. We've done Hustler's Handbook. We've done new metal, patriotism. We have a fiction one coming up. We have who knows what else. But go to Patreon, patreon.com/streetfightradio to sign up and support Street Fight Radio and what we do. You can get access to our live show videos. You can get access to exclusive codes for the merchandise, premium videos before people get them. Also, we sell Kratom and pamphlets. The Kratom is
a pamphlet business. Hello. Come on. Like, I picture a guy standing on the side of the road singing out of the Little Red Songbook, handing out socialism pamphlets to people, except for the pamphlets all just have stories about corn in them.
We have kratom. It's this amazing plant from Southeast Asia. It's kind of like coffee, but it's also kind of like Xanax. It's really cool. And we'll send you 25 grams of it a month for only $10 a month. And if you want to get everything that we do, that's the videos, that's the pamphlets, that's the kratom. It's only $13 a month to support Street Fight Radio and keep this thing rolling. And come check us out. We've got tickets at store.streetfightradio.com for all of our live shows coming up. Baltimore, you're for free, so no worries there. River West tickets are up there because that's an expensive trip with hotel and all. We're actually staying in Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison. If you want to hang in Madison.
Yeah, I kind of want to hit that beach up. I think we're going to try to do a cookout. I got to nail down the things. Whoever's listening to this is like, I know, I emailed you about it weeks ago. And I'm talking on the air like, I don't know, man. What are we going to do? We're going to have a cookout or something there, I think, in Milwaukee once we get there. But stay tuned for all of that. Find us on social media. All of the usernames is at Street Fight WCRS. I am at Brett Payne, BRETTPAIN, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. I don't use Snapchat anymore. I use the Street Fight one. Brian is on Twitter, at Murder Brian, MURDERBRYAN. And we are Street Fight. Peace. Oh, wait, hold on. I got a song, too. Somebody recommended a song. And I feel like I got to start saying these now, too, because enough people ask every single week. I put it in the show notes. If you go to streetfightradio.com, you can always listen. It always have listed what the closing song is. So this week, Joel sent this one in. It's a banger. Turn it up. It's Good Riddance. The song is Nobody Likes a Cynic. And it's going to get your aggression out. Peace.